All right, I will say good morning. Let's continue. So we find ourselves on page 83. So just again, remember the topic that we're in the midst of discussing that Ramchal is bringing down is the impact of even small actions. Impact of small actions. And he's choosing to illustrate this through the mistakes of great people. Now, what Ramchal was pointing out is the principle that the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medactic with the tzaddikim kuchut asara, that God is meticulous with the actions of the righteous. Kuchut asara, literally like a hair's breadth. And the idea over here is that although we thought intuitively the opposite would be true, namely that tzaddikim perhaps would be given a little bit more of a pass or a little bit more leeway, that indeed is not the case. And tzaddikim, the greater you are, the more meticulous God is with your particular actions. And we see that what appears to be for seemingly small transgressions, or maybe transgressions is too strong, for small misjudgments, so the righteous are held accountable in a very significant way. Now, just to understand, the point that Ramchal is trying to make over here is the general principle, which is that every action has a reaction, and that there's no such thing as doing something in this world without repercussions. So he says, we pick up in the middle of page 83, Yaakov vaday tzadik gadol hayo. Yaakov was a great tzadik. But yet, Yaakov, so remember again, but Yaakov Avinu got angry at Rachel. Right? When Rachel sees her sister Leah having all of these children, so she says to Yaakov, Havali bani vim ayin me sanochi, give me children. If you don't give me children, I might as well be dead. So Rachel is slonina, vatoma Rachel, Havali bani vim ayin me sanochi. So she says to Yaakov, give me sons, give me children, and if not, it's like I'm dead. Ma armala Yaakov. So what did Yaakov Avinu respond? Hatacha salokim ani asher mano mimech pribaten. So Yaakov Avinu says to her, what are you yelling at me, right? What are you talking to me for? Am I God who has withheld from you fruit of the womb? Yaakov omerla, ma at rotza mimeni ani alokim. Right? So Yaakov Avinu essentially says to her, what do you want from me? I'm not God. Now Rashi HaKadosh points out that Yaakov Avinu was saying something additional as well, which is that Yaakov Avinu says to her, Asher mana mimech privatan. In other words, the problem is you. The problem is not me. Baruch Hashem, I have children. Baruch Hashem, I'm able to go ahead and father a family with my other wives. So the issue is not me. Now Rashi actually points out that what Rachel said to Yaakov was, you're not davening for me. You know, your grandfather Avram davened for his wife Sarah. Your father Yitzchak davened for his wife Rivka. And you're not davening for me, Yaakov. And this is what he wants from me. I have children. You know, they didn't have children. I've been at least for a long time. Didn't have children. Then he married Hagar, actually, but for a long time he didn't have children. So, Yitzchak didn't have children. Me, Baruch Hashem, I have children. So the problem is not me. The problem is, what do you want from me? So Amr Medrash, Zel Shono, Amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kach Onim Es HaMa'ukos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov, is that how you speak to barren women? In other words, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that Yaakov Avinu's response lacked the requisite sensitivity, that he did not talk to Rachel in a compassionate or empathic enough fashion. Your wife is speaking to you from pain. She's speaking to you from a place of incredible pain. So this, by the way, is an incredible yisod in general in Shalom Bayis, that sometimes a spouse says something that is so off base, that just like is so crazy, and the reflexive response is to shoot back out of anger. But a person has to realize sometimes when a spouse says something that's hurtful or that's strong, it's because they're in pain. And when a person is in pain, sometimes the best thing you could do is try to validate that pain and figure out how to go forward. So this person says, Yaakov, what are you doing? Your wife is in pain. Your wife is in terrible pain. She's barren. And in the midterm, she sees her sister giving birth to all of these children. So this is how you answer a barren woman. This is how you answer your wife when she's in a difficult place. Therefore, God says, you will see that your sons will stand before her sons. And Rav Kishlogazan, he says, what's the punishment? The punishment that Yaakov Avinu's sons, quote unquote, his sons, in other words, the sons that he told Rachel, I've got sons, those sons will bow before her son. A a reference ultimately again to the reunification of the family in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. In Egypt, where Yosef was in control, Yosef was the leader, and all of them had to bow in a subservient fashion towards him. Ulefi, furthermore, Ulefi Shenasan es Dina Beteva, Kadesh Likachana Esav, right? And you know the famous medrash that says that when Yaakov Avinu was going to meet Esav, so he put Dina in a box. Why did he put Dina in a box? Because he didn't want Esav to see her and potentially take her as a wife. So because Yaakov put Dina in a box, so that Esav should not see her take her as a wife, even though his intention was good, right, he didn't want her to marry a Rasha, but because he went ahead and he withheld chesed from his brother, meaning again, if he would have allowed Dina to potentially marry Esav, Dinov could have had a positive impact on Esav, but because he withheld that chesed from his brother, page 84, even though his kavana was for good, that again, remember, he wanted to go ahead and hide Dina from Esav, vaday yeshlo kavana tova, certainly the intention was good, aval mana chesed miachiv. Yaakov Avinu potentially had the capacity to allow his brother to be chos b'tshuva. This is quite amazing that apparently Chazal felt that Dina was powerful enough to actually enable Esav to be chos b'tshuva, to repent. It's an incredible, it's a wild, wild statement. First of all, yeah, Lala Shalom Bayez is over here. I'm sorry? Right, that shows you the power of a strong wife. So the power of a strong wife is absolutely, she could even take an Esav and she could turn him around. It's quite dramatic. And Yaakov Avinu withheld that chesed from his brother. And again, obviously, Yaakov Avinu as a father has his own cheshbonus, right? And his cheshbon as a father is, this guy is a Rasha. So I'm not going to let my daughter marry him. But yet, again, at the end of the day, Chazal fault Yaakov Avinu for not allowing his daughter to marry Esav, recognizing that she had the power to turn around. Amru b'medrash. So the medrash writes, Amar l'akadosh baruch hu, Lamas mere'eyu chesed. So literally the pasuk says, Lamas mere'eyu chesed means he withholds chesed from his fellow. Lo bakashta lahasila Esav shumo. You did not allow your daughter to marry Esav, who at least he himself was circumcised. Sof sof yesh lo bris mila. Listen, Esav might be a rotten guy, but at least he's got a bris mila. Hare tinasai la'orel lakach osa chamar shchem ben chamar. And what happened? You didn't want her to be married to a man with a bris mila. She's abducted by someone who was like an animal, namely Shechem ben Chamor. Lo bikashta le'asiyah derachater. You did not allow her to get married in a permitted fashion. Harihimi says derech iser. Ultimately, again, she'll be taken in a prohibited fashion. So Chazal link the abduction and rape of Dina to the fact that Yaakov Avinu would not marry her off to Esav, which of course is a huge, huge jump that of course none of us on our own would make. But Chazal understood these two events to be absolutely related. And more importantly, for our purposes today, what Chazal are trying to express to us is that every single action has a reaction. And sometimes, by the way, you see that reaction is not necessarily commensurate or measured in a way that we understand, but every single action, big or small, even well-intended actions, ultimately have ramifications. Ezo tevia klape Yaakov, biglashe gein al dina bito hechviosa. What type of tevia? What type of claim is being made against Yaakov Avinu? Why? Because he wanted to protect his daughter, he wanted to hide his daughter. Aval shalal es haif sharos lahashpia. But since he withheld, and I will say, it must be, by the way, that Yaakov Avinu understood the ability for Dina to affect this change. Because obviously, a person doesn't know about certain things. There's only so much responsibility they could have. Apparently, the fact that Yaakov Avinu is held accountable for this indicates to us that he could have, or at least he should have, known this reality. His daughter had the ability to go ahead and turn Esav around, and he chose not to exercise that option. Therefore, Yaakov Meshalim Alzeh Midas Hadin Pogas B'Yaakov. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu pays for this mistake in a very dramatic fashion, and the divine attribute of strict justice exacts its price. He goes on, Yosef. Yosef, remember this is the episode in the prison, in the jail. After Yosef interpreted the dreams of the baker and the butler, so the baker is executed, the butler goes back to his job, and Yosef says to the butler, please, when you go back to your position, please remember me. Please remember me. Please remember to go ahead and mention me in a positive way to Paro. So because of that, because he reached out for human assistance, there were 2 years added on to his sentence. Shnasayim bekala zeharbe. 2 years in jail is a long time. Shnasayim azesh shabatach basar mashkim. And why is he given the 2 years? Ultimately, because he put his faith in the butler. Yosef, so he goes on, Yosef atzmo. Again, we'll say another example of what appears to be small transgressions, right? Small mistakes, but yet, again, a very heavy price tag, because every single action in life carries a reaction. Yosef has one more piece of also, then we'll stop. Yosef asma al shecharat es aviv bali reshuso shalmakom. Yosef decided to embalm the body of his father without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reshus, o lefi sheshama, Avdecha Avinu v'shasak, or because he heard many times his brothers refer to his father as his servant. The brothers would say to Yosef, Avdecha Avinu, your servant, our father, v'shasak, and he never said anything. Lamar kide islay, makes the fneachav. Why did Yosef, who was younger than his brothers, why did he die before them? So the Medrash attributes it to either A, the fact that he embalmed his father's body without asking rishos, without asking permission, or because this is before he even revealed his identity, or because he allowed his father to be referred to as your servant, our father. Either way, one of those two reasons, he dies before his brother. So we'll say, again, the common denominator in all of these things is when you look at it at first glance, it just seems like exaggerated divine responses to seemingly small transgressions. Understand, the Ramchal is not here to tell us whether or not the divine response was warranted. That's above our pay grade. That's not our decision. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kadosh Baruch Hu. And even though sometimes the responses look amplified or exaggerated or unwarranted, that's not our business. That's not our business. Our business is to makabel. The point, ultimately, that the Ramchal is making is that every action has a reaction. That every single thing we do in this world, big and small, has some type of reaction. And the incredible thing is sometimes the reaction is much bigger than we anticipated. But often that's why. That's because sometimes we don't understand the enormity of the actions in which we engage. Sometimes we think things are relatively small or unimportant, while in reality, again, they have incredible significance. Sometimes it's only through the magnified reaction that we understand ultimately how important our actions truly are. All right, so we'll stop over here. Meretz Hashem, we'll pick up bottom of page 84 tomorrow with David HaMelech.